Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey y'all, it is us, your friendly neighborhood spider people. My name is Colleen Wing.
And I am Lost Farms, and this is The Read, and this is our special holiday mailbag episode. Yay! It's the end of the year, and so we're taking a little bit of time off, just a couple of weeks. And so that is the purpose of these mailbag episodes, to just answer a lot of your questions, clear out the inbox a little bit, and really dive into y'all and y'all's shit and everything True. Y'all have going on. So this is always fun.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
I can. Yeah. Let's see here. Burr, 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 burr. Okay. Yes, I will start actually. This letter comes from Jay. And Jay says, here's the deal. A while ago, my best friend Nia told me and our other best friend Brandy that she asked her fiance to write down his experiences and thought processes regarding choosing Nia at the beginning of their relationship.
Why?
For context, before Nia and her fiance became exclusive, Nia found out that he was sleeping with other people. Not a huge deal other than the obvious lack of communication since they weren't exclusive. But once she realized she caught feelings, she took a step back and let him know that she would be interested in becoming exclusive if he wanted to. But if not, she would have to do what was best for her. He ended up deciding to cut off his roster and committing to her. And a year or so later, they were engaged. It's been almost 8 months since they got engaged. And Nia has realized she wants to know more about the time in their relationship where he was sleeping around.
Why?
To my knowledge, this was prompted by wanting to have the reassurance as to why she was the connection he chose to pursue.
Oh, my God. Alive today.
A few weeks ago, Nia texted Brandy and I in a panic, saying that her fiance gave her the letter and she was extremely overwhelmed since it was several pages long and included information on 8 different women that he slept with during that time, which he called the only ones worth noting. So he slept with more than 8, but this was his
you
top 8.
You literally asked for this. You printed an invoice
you
out.
Did, you did.
Like you
did.
Asked for this.
You did.
Please.
Obviously, there was chaos in the group chat, and Nia ended up sending Brandy and I the full letter completely unprompted. I asked in the chat, do I want to read this? And Nia responded,
I don't.
You can read it or not. I have made up my mind to not open the letter because I wanted to give Nia and her fiance the time to work everything out on their own, especially because knowing me, I didn't want to read some shit that wasn't meant for me. And then I'll be looking at this nigga sideways for the rest of our lives.
There it is then. Then there it is.
I told Nia and Brandy I wouldn't read it, but that I was there for her if she needed help processing after her convo with her fiance. Later that day, I got a call from Brandy in the middle of the workday, and she was enraged, telling me that she read the letter and it was foul. She even said that he name dropped the both of us in it and ended the convo saying she thought I should read it. And
Wait. Rewind. I'm sorry.
Brandy is the other best friend.
Yeah. She read it and she's tight?
Yeah. She said that the letter he wrote was disgusting.
Right.
Okay. And in her opinion, it was enough for Nia to give the ring back. After that, I did read the letter and it was indeed disgusting.
So you went, oh my, oh.
There was no consideration for Nia's feelings at all and went into many unnecessary details about these eight women that he was sleeping with. The letter was broken up into sections, one for each of the women.
I want to read it.
And they were all given code names. One section even had photos.
Oh, no. That, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I actually live for this man.
In addition to the nasty and narcissistic bullshit that was oozing from the letter, he even blamed Nia a few times for making him heal faster than he wanted to by forcing him into a relationship.
That's fucked up.
Niggas. After reading the letter, the three of us set up a time to debrief in person, which led to Brandy and I.
Are y'all S.H.I.E.L.D.? What the fuck is going on? The X-Files? The Skulder and Mullions? Do you have a headquarters? Are you meeting up in some dimly lit warehouse to talk about this nigga? I love this so much.
Which led to Brandy and I letting Nia know that we think she should end her engagement because this man clearly doesn't respect women, is a narcissist, and is not ready for marriage. That was not taken well. We continued to press Nia about her feelings about the letter, and she really wasn't processing it with us. When we asked her why she's so confident that her fiance is the one, she kept coming up with basic answers like, he's patient enough to deal with my anxiety, and he always tries to help me out. And to me, these things are the bare minimum of what anybody, much less a future husband, should be doing.
I agree.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that he wrote that he was in contact with one of the eight women up until just a few months ago when he finally told her that he was engaged. While he was on vacation with Nia. I could go on and on about this damn letter, but I want to know, were we wrong for telling our friend to break off the engagement? I already had some unfortunate interactions with her fiance before this, but I was able to handle it and set boundaries in a way that made me feel all right being around him. Yeah. At one point, I was even considering backing out of the wedding since I'm a bridesmaid and so is Brandy. Any thoughts you have are welcome. Love y'all so much. Thanks, Jay.
I assume Jay was male or mass presenting.
No, Jay's a lady. Well, usually is a dyke or a man, but this time it is not.
I mean, we don't know.
Nia, Brandy, and Jandy.
I don't know where to go with this one. I feel like I'm far more intrigued by what you would have to say as a therapist.
Not therapist.
Or maybe just someone who's... Because here it is, right? This is someone who admits that she has anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I'm not even going to say for whatever reason. So much so that she asked her partner after they took a break or whatever, like, why he chose, like, not only just why he chose to get back with her, but like her specifically among all the hoes, right? This nigga published a book. I assume that it is like, it is a hardcover, possibly like bound in a really strong material.
Yeah.
Like, photographs, glossary, my God. Okay, so I feel like, right, on one hand, I understand where they're like, oh, this is too much. Why include this and all these details and all this other stuff? But then at the other end, it's like, well, you asked him
you did.
To tell you this very thing. And he was almost too honest. Like, do you have any questions? You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga was just like, just so there's nothing else to be asked, said, or whatever, here's what she looked like, here's her blood type, shoe size, like, you know, here's where I'm at with everything. So is it...
Lord.
Because he didn't cheat on you. I don't like that he blamed you for his emotional journey or lack thereof or whatever.
That's shitty.
He was in communication with one of these girls up until however many months ago, which to me says fucking. Like, I don't. So I wouldn't even know if I would say cheating. But then again, the nigga is so honest that I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it something that you take to somebody and go like, hey, you know, Dr. So-and-so, you know, me and this nigga really want to make it work. And, you know, premarital therapy is a big thing anyway. Mm-hmm. So here is his book. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Matter of fact, we might have to just email that ahead of the session so you can just get, you know, abreast. And then, you know, go from there. Or is it a thing where you really are just like, oh, wow, this is too much. I don't want to be with this nigga anymore. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. She's deciding, no, that isn't the case. I read the goddamn book. You read the book. She read the magazine. So, like... And I'm not going nowhere, so...
Yeah, interesting. So were y'all wrong for telling her to break off the engagement? I mean, you're her two best friends. You feel that way about it. I think you probably would have been wrong to not say something.
Right.
Because this is, you know, we're talking about the person you're about to tie yourself to legally. That's big.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as a best friend, if I felt like, in my heart, this bitch do not need to be marrying this nigga, I'm gonna say something.
Yeah.
But I think
I'm not gonna like rent out a WeWork space and schedule a Google Meet time for us to discuss it.
Yeah.
I'd probably do it in, you know, just the regular ass way that I communicate with my friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. But I agree with you that they probably shouldn't get married, but I don't think the letter, what's in the letter, actually has anything to do with it, you know?
Here we are.
It's the,
come on now.
It's the fact that, honestly, it's the fact that she asked for it in the first place.
There we are. And you know, there it is.
It's like,
I knew I just needed a little ride around.
There's a part of Nia deep down that is having questions, or maybe it's not that deep down. But there's part of her that's questioning this relationship is what it sounds like to me. Because the whole, like, I just wanted some knowledge and reassurance as to why, like, out of all your hoes, I'm the one you wanted. And
right,
I feel like that is a question that should have been answered before the engagement ever happened. It's 8 months after the engagement and now you want to know more about the time before we was exclusive when I was fucking a bunch of other women. Why?
I wonder what she does for a living.
Yeah, I...
Not that it's related.
Yeah, I just think...
What makes you think to ask someone that?
Nia sounds a little insecure, but I also wouldn't be surprised based off what you've said about this man. I wouldn't be surprised if he's giving her a lot of things to feel insecure about. I wouldn't be surprised. So, are you wrong? No, not for saying something, but you do need to decide, like, if she says, listen, my man, my man, my man, and I'm gonna stick beside him, then you have to really decide, like, do you feel like this man is harmful? Do you feel like your friend is in some sort of emotional, physical, sexual, mental danger with him? Or is it just, wow, like, you really cannot give this nigga an inch because he will take the whole fucking mile and tell you about everybody that he fucked on the way there. Like, you really can't give him no space to act out because he will take all of it and use it full up. So...
I think you hit the nail on the head, though, because that was my initial, like, was just even right. The question.
Why did you ask for this?
What's going on?
And if you were going to stay with him anyway, why did you send it to your friends?
I just have some.
Nia, yes. I don't think Nia should be getting married, not just to this man, but to anybody right now. Nia got some shit she need to work through. She got some growth.
I fully agree.
She got some growth that needs to take place.
Fully agree.
Yeah.
Because I was already questioning stuff, but mama was like, can you write me a letter about them times that she was running through these hoes that I'm going to hate? And then I completely forgot that was like kind of the root based on the fact that this nigga created something that honestly they should convert into a screenplay. Like maybe y'all should sit down with this nigga and just turn this into the first draft of Baby Boy 2. Baby Man.
Okay, no. We don't need to bring that back. Baby man. We don't need to bring that whole concept back.
Baby the man.
No. Nope. That can stay exactly where it's at. But
man, baby.
Yeah, good luck, Jay. If it comes down to it, then like if you really can't support it, then yeah, back out of the wedding. One thing I'm not gonna do is stand up there when I feel like my friend is making the biggest mistake of her life. Like, I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably not. Depends on how nice the wedding is, how much money I've already spent on it, that sort of thing. But if I feel like he's abusive in some kind of way, I'm not going to act like I co-sign this relationship. But it's hard, you know, because you want to be a friend, but you also don't want to, you know, make it seem like you approve of the decision she's making. But also she's grown. So, but good luck to you, Jay. Good luck in figuring this out. What a mess.
Yes.
All right.
Indeed.
Do you have one?
What a beginning. Sure. I'll read this one. It's related to rap shit. It says, hi. Oh, it's from April. It's from April. She says, hi, Krista and Kid Fury. Love you both. My question is for Fury. A couple episodes ago, you alluded to rap shit and how there are themes and situations in the show that relate to misogyny and hip hop. It got me thinking about whether or not you could give us rap shit fans what we really want and chat about the show a little bit. Now, I know you may not be at liberty to talk about it on your podcast, but just in case you could oblige, here are a couple questions I have. More than one. Okay. One, who is your favorite character to write for, or who is your favorite character in general? I don't think I have a favorite character in general. It sounds gross and cliche, but I really feel something for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite characters to write for are Mia's best friends.
Yeah.
Alicia and Chanelica. Nelly for short. Those two are my faves because they just remind me of my friends and I when we were around that age. Just not taking shit seriously. Everything's a joke. Slightly coming for each other all of the time until someone gets mad. So, you know, anytime we get to a scene with them, I know it'll probably be fun. What was the situation or storyline that made you gag the most? It could be from season one or season two. The most, definitely season two, episode 5. If you've seen it, you know it. If you haven't, go watch it. What's the best thing about being a writer on a show that is so Black and so Miami? Best part about being a writer, that it's so Black and so Miami. What's the best part about getting to do it with people that are incredibly talented and respectful of culture across the Black community, and different identities, different backgrounds and stuff like that. Just working with people who like really get it and aren't really trying to, you know, be popping more than they are trying to make stuff that matters and stuff that makes people laugh. That's the best part. Because it could be a Black show based on Miami with a whole bunch of white people that don't give a fuck, you know, or something.
Sure
it could
have
easily been some other shit.
It could.
Lastly, it says, we all loved your cameo, but I did wonder what it was like for you to play straight, maybe one fun thing and one challenging thing. So here's the thing. They ain't asked me to do that until, like, production was pretty much, I was in Miami.
Work.
We were, you know, ready to start filming and everything. And my amazing showrunner came up to me and said, Issa and I spoke and we want to offer you the role of this straight screaming boy. And I was like, I am honored. I don't know why y'all feel like I could play a heterosexual as gay as I am, but I'm going to give it my best. Mm-hmm. You know. And the most challenging thing, I'm not an actor, so acting.
Yeah. <That part.
laughs> And like, the most fun, what?
I was going to ask, like, were you like channeling some heterosexual energy? What were you even thinking about in that moment? Like, how do you get straight?
A couple of streamers that I don't want to name specifically.
Okay.
Couple straight friends of mine, and then like nigger rappers from Philly.
Love that. Perfect. Okay.
I did the best I could. The most fun was the scene in season one where Cliff and Shauna break up on Instagram Live. and I as Cliff's roommate slash friend and in the other room. And as Shauna storms out, I come out into the hallway and tell Cliff that his mom's on the phone and she's stuttering.
Yeah.
Every take that we did of that scene, I came out and I said something different.
Of course you did.
She stuttering or whatever, but that was fun because it was like every time that it came to that part, I knew I was just going to say some other random shit about his mama on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it warmed my heart because I'm just a small fish in a large pond. So it warmed my heart. Every now and then I'll come out there and say something like, "You agitating her tennis elbow or something." And I could hear like Video Village laugh. I can hear people's like offset laughing. Mm-hmm. That made me feel good about myself. So that was
nice. I love that. I can't believe we only have 2 more episodes to the end of season 2.
Right?
It flew by.
I don't want to trigger my girl, but I'm just like,
we need 10 episodes. We need them to be alone.
No, and I got a writer. But you're right. I can't believe it's almost over already. Yeah. I love this show. It's so fucking fun.
You should be very proud of the work you've done on it.
I think everyone should be proud of the work they're doing on it.
Mm-hmm.
The actors are just
y'all are so fun.
Oh my God. I love them so much. And to know that some of them are like, this is like their beginning. The beginning of their acting career.
Mm-hmm.
Jonica, Chameleon, even Ida, like our 3 main.
Yeah.
They're so, I just can't wait to see them continue, see everybody still work, the writers, the DPs, seeing some of the assistants, the PAs who be on set have like a line or get camera time where they get set. Like all of that stuff warms my heart because everybody works so hard. And I'm a big empath. So
the girl who plays Shauna, how do you say her first name?
Ida.
Mm-hmm. She is so good at all the little just weirdo nuances of Shauna, all those little
almost
awkward,
like a little Issa D.
I was gonna say it's giving awkward black girl really a lot of the times, but she just I'm really impressed by her, but honestly the whole cast, and yeah, y'all are having great. I can tell y'all are having big fun over there. And so.
Thanks for the question. Yeah, I don't talk about it much on here because, you know, I usually just let my jobs be my jobs. And I don't like to, you know, be like, hey, girl, so let's talk about my other job that ain't got nothing to do with Crystal.
Meanwhile, the people would love to hear it. They want all the details. So.
Well, there, you got a little bit of something. Thank you so much for asking. I fucking love rap shit.
Amen. 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 Hey, y'all, this podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding a work-life balance can be tough, okay? If anybody knows, I know. But Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. If you don't know, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. You can use Squarespace to create a website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to your time, all in one place. With the new guided design Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website that's optimized for every device and make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in certain countries, you can give customers the chance to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. Y'all know I love Squarespace. I used it to put our website together, thisis3.com. I've also used it on my personal website, crystal.com. And that is because, first of all, it's very easy to use if you ever need to update it. It's simple to log in, make whatever updates you can make or whatever you need to do without knowing any code or anything like that. And it helps me to just stay organized, do everything I need to do. Because you got to have a web presence, okay? It's 2024. You got to have a web presence. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/3 to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Let them know Kifuri and Crystal sent you. All right, let's get back to the show. Hey, y'all. Listen, we all know that life is full of the yada, yada, yada. You know, sometimes you sign up for a contract one place, and then in order to get out of it, you got to send 1,000,000 letters and go up there in person. And it's just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Like, this could have been easier. OK, we've all dealt with the yada, yada before when companies have those sneaky gotchas, hiding deep in fine print, or, you know, even bills that just seem to keep going up every month for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then they charge you for every little thing until you might as well have just booked your ticket somewhere else. But it is possible to outsmart the yada yada, like triple checking airline deals and making sure everything you need is already included. So remember, you don't have to take the yada yada in life, and you don't have to take it from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and not a yada yada. So stop by one of the over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide to sign up today. All right, let's move on to our next letter. This is from Robin, who says, "Dear Crystal and Kid Fury."
Oh, I just had, got triggered.
No, please. "I am so glad Juan Dixon is not here right now."
Those people are not.
They are.
Not.
They are not well. Okay. Robin says, "I've been in an interracial relationship for almost a year with my Anglo-Indian boyfriend."
I'm going to Google that. I mean, I know.
It just means white and Indian.
Right. But I'm going to Google it just to see what. I've never heard that, but I bet you it's like a TikTok thing.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
No, it's just what you call.
Yeah, it's just what. That's what I thought. But yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
He's 34 and I'm 29. I was in a four-year relationship before, and he's recently divorced after his wife cheated and has shared custody of his four-year-old son. Since we've been together, he introduced me to his family, his son, and his closest friends. We decided to move in together after the first 3 months, and since then, we've been inseparable. We've had growing pains like any other relationship, but overall, this is the happiest I've ever been. I've gotten along with his entire family from the start. They've always invited me over for holidays. They surprised me with a cake for my birthday. I'm invited to his younger sister's upcoming destination wedding, and his mom even bought me traditional attire to wear to it. They're very close-knit, and that's new to me because my family is the complete opposite. My mom doesn't talk to me, and my father passed away back in 08. I have siblings, but I'm only close with my eldest sister. Lately, I've been feeling like an outsider more and more with his family. I say this because of the family group chat created by his mother that I'm not in. I've been included in other group chats for events like Thanksgiving or birthday plans, but the feeling of being excluded recently sprang back up when his grandmother was admitted to the hospital and his mom made another chat and didn't include me in it. Mind you, his grandmother and I have a great relationship, and I even went with my boyfriend to visit her in the hospital. Am I tripping? Am I overthinking this? Please help. Thanks, Robin."
Mm.
So he has a white daddy, an Indian mama, and the Indian mama is like, "I'm not including your girlfriend. I'm not including your girlfriend."
Of course.
In all my damn.
So plainly.
In all like, my damn yes. group chats.
Oh my goodness. That is so. Okay. So I thought, okay, I don't want to speak for nobody culture or nobody's nothing. I feel like if mama was like, "Hey girl, we got you a cake. Come to my daughter's destination wedding. We go, you know, have you in a traditional,
yeah. We get you together, saying, yeah.
So you can, you know, be dripped out." Like, I feel like there are probably a lot of people in relationships with someone who has an Indian mother, Hindi, whatever you would call, and their experience would be the opposite.
Oh yeah.
Or they might
real quick.
They might be like, "Oh, please get her the fuck far away from here. What are you thinking?" Again, I won't speak for nobody because maybe, you know, Indian moms are just a blast in general, and I'm basing that off of stereotypes. But I really think just in general, moms who are part of a close-knit family are likely to be protective in ways.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean, "I'm going to be mean to you." Mm-hmm. It just means, you know, like, you'll get there. We'll see.
Right.
If you can make it around. Because this sounds like this is still relatively new.
Almost
you talk about
year.
Y'all moved together, moved in together after 3 months, which...
Sounds crazy to me.
Okay. All righty. You know, live. But as Crystal was reading this, I was like, it's amazing to me now how many, letters we get now that really boil down to, you need a therapist. I would attribute that to my journey in therapy, your journey in therapy, your journey as a therapist.
Yeah.
And our honesty and upfrontedness about all of the above, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's what this is, because you're admitting that you don't really have that type of relationship with your family. It sounds like it's something that you might desire, or maybe you just realized is really nice and you may have been missing out on. And so I think that's probably why you have sensitivities to that. At the end of the day, his mama really doesn't have an obligation to you in any way, especially when it's something as personal as, you know, her mama or her husband mama being in the hospital or something like that. Mm-hmm. The fact that you even get to go with your man is big.
Thank you.
Whether you have a relationship with grandma or not. So I would probably say, you know, if everyone is warm and seemingly getting along mm-hmm. and they bought you a birthday cake and all that
other
stuff.
Arms, yeah.
Take that for what it is. Mm-hmm. Be thankful that it's not like a weird, uncomfortable thing like many, 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 many families get when people start, you know, mixing up and, you know, blending together. And I think what you want to do is really address your own personal relationship mm-hmm. with family or yes. lack thereof.
Yes.
To tie those loose threads, you know, because if your mama was all up on your bumper all the time and you had this close relationship with your grandma and stuff like that, this probably wouldn't affect you as much.
Yeah.
You know? But you're yeah. sounds like you're looking at them like your family now.
Am I the therapist or are you the therapist? Because that was very therapist of you.
Like I said, I just go to therapy. You know what I'm saying? I just talk to the doctor.
Yeah. I think, you know, as an outsider looking at this, you have been with him. You've been dating him for a little under a year. His family has welcomed you, but they're not treating you like part of the family yet. And to be fair, you aren't. You aren't. And so right. I'm not surprised that there are certain topics or certain matters where you're excluded from the family chat, especially, you know, with the assumption that this woman, the grandmother who went to the hospital, is the mom's mom. I can really mm-hmm. see why she wasn't like, oh, let me add in this black girl that's been coming around for the past 8 months. Like, let me add her into the mix. Like, I can see why you were excluded from those. Now, if you all get engaged or married and you're still left out of certain conversations, that's a different story. But
right.
mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with this, especially like Hifuri said, everything else is great. They love you over for holidays. They got you a cake for your birthday. You going to the wedding. Mama got you some drip. Like, it sounds like they love you. They're just not going to automatically include you like you've been around for the past 10 years because you haven't. And that's fair.
Right.
So, and yes, I agree with Kid Fury that I think your personal history with family is probably influencing a lot of what's going on here with you. Your mom doesn't talk to you. Your dad is past, you're only close with your sister, but you have other siblings. So like, there's a lot there that you probably need to work through. His family dynamic is completely different from yours. And that's not to say that, you know, it's impossible for them to be like rude or fucked up or, you know, not treating you nice. It just doesn't sound like that's the case based off this. It sounds like they're being appropriate, including you in some group chats, but not all of them, not the ones that are really personal or sensitive, that sort of thing. That's appropriate.
Because now that you say that, I also think it's like mama could love you down and be like, oh, my baby's going to marry this girl one day. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But her sister or one of the other kids or whatever, it is not to say they it's not to say they might just dislike you, but mm-hmm. like, again, it's like grandma in the hospital, just because mommy loves you down, I might be like, what is she doing in this group chat? You know,
yeah.
No shade.
Yeah.
I love when she comes over and she's a good vibe, but like,
no
she's
shade,
just got
you but know, you are a
it's
girlfriend.
Really,
yes.
I think you use the right word when you said appropriate.
Yes.
I think they are doing what is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not.
More than that. They buying you cakes and dressing you up.
Yeah, they're not
they're
excluding you from everything. They're making you feel welcome, but it's an appropriate amount of welcome. Because ultimately, you just got here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a 4-year-old son. I'm sure they're very protective about that baby. And so, yeah, I'm not shocked. But, yeah, I don't think this is them being like, fuck Robin. Robin can't be part of the family. We don't give a damn about her. I think this is not even you tripping, but maybe overthinking due to your own trauma. And that's understandable. So like Kid Fury said, if therapy is an option for you, definitely would recommend that so you can process what sounds like a fucked up childhood, fucked up family
and or starts, you know, spending more time with that older sister and see if there's a way to open a conversation about bringing the other siblings in too. Is it a possibility that you can start, you know, building something with the family that you do have? You know, I'm talking about siblings first. It sounds like mama is not, you know, mom is something else.
Not even available.
That's fine, you know. But maybe it's about, you know, just building that closeness again with the family that you have here on top of therapy, both.
Yeah.
My therapist be like, you know, if you want to bring somebody into a session, you can.
Is that a suggestion or a recommendation?
Right. Oh, from them?
No, I'm just saying, you got to have to look at it from a therapist when they're like, if they say it more than once or if they say it every week, they're like, you know, anytime you want to just bring in a close friend.
Oh, right.
That's when it kind of starts to sound like your therapist is saying, girl, like, we need some additional context here. But
it's very much just like, if you want your mama to be on one of these calls, that's okay.
Well, that can get deep.
It's never even been. Anyway, we can talk about me. I'm just saying.
Okay. Best of luck to you, Robin, as you try to figure this out. Let us know how it goes. You know who we never got an update from? The girl who got her ass beat because she said, at least my man ain't dead or whatever to her friend.
Would you?
She has never.
Would you?
She has never. And Alex posted about, like, what's your favorite moment, so, you know, for the best of episode. And that one came up so many times. And I'm like, damn, why have you not? Like, girl, hit us back. What happened? Please.
Wavy intel. Like, yeah, I actually truly, if you're out there.
Yeah.
I truly need to hear more about that one.
Okay. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back. Boop, boop, boop. That's the quick break. Now we can come right back.
Okay, y'all, we're back. It is time for some more letters. This one comes from Josh. He says, hey, y'all. Hope the holidays are going well for you and yours. Some nerdy questions here, mainly for Fury, because we all know for damn sure Crystal ain't got no dog in this fight.
Wow. Well,
depends on what the question is.
Rude.
So, Fury, who are your top 5 Naruto characters? Why? Top 5 One Piece? My Hero? And because I want Crystal to feel included, Steven Universe. This one actually requires like a lot of thought that I don't have prepared at the moment.
Well, so for me, my top, did he say top 5 characters?
Yeah.
My top 5 Steven Universe characters are, okay, so I was going to try doing an order, but no particular order because I can't do
that. Yeah, I can't do that either.
I can't do that.
I'm not going to do it.
Stevani.
Fair.
Amethyst.
Mm-hmm. Knew that.
Garnet.
Mm-hmm. Knew that.
Greg.
Fair.
Steven's
fair.
Dad.
Yep.
And I don't know, this one might be kind of controversial, but I'm gonna go with Pearl. Because Pearl is...
That's not controversial.
It is a little bit. Because Pearl is kind of high-strung. Pearl is the Virgo of the family.
There's so many reasons for that.
But you need a Pearl. Like, Pearl keeps shit going. Pearl, you know, she's the, like, the no-nonsense, let's get our head out of the cloud. Amethyst would have us go rolling around, eating pizza and smoking weed all day. Yeah. Right. And so, you need your Taurus Amethyst, but you also need your Virgo... your Virgo Pearl, and so I'm gonna go with her. But yeah, Stevani, iconic. Garnet might be my top one, honestly. Oh God, I didn't even say Steven. Steven is so adorable. Steven is so fucking cute. But it's something about his dad, Greg, being like fully not a Jim and still being so... Yes, so like, yeah, being an ally, like fucking up, apologizing, making a genuine effort to do better, trying to understand his son who is so different from him in like ways he could have never fathomed, and his baby mama is not here no more, like sacrificed herself so this child could live. And so it's and still, you know, he's out here just being a hippie, playing his guitar, living in a van, randomly wins the lottery and gets rich, but then just spends his money on everybody else and, you know, tips $1,000 to waiters and shit like that. So Greg is like a real solid, schlubby white man who's just out here not trying to be part of capitalism, not trying to be part of the problem, and trying to, you know, parent his son as best as he can. But he mostly lets the Jims handle it because he knows, you know, he knows what he can do and what he cannot do. So Greg is there, but he also, you know, he yields a lot of it to Pearl, who is everybody's mama, and Garnet, who is like, you know, their god. So, but but there are so many excellent characters on Steven Universe. God, I think I might, during this break, I might go back and just watch it again because, and Lion! Okay. Okay. Lion is tricky because Lion doesn't even speak. And still, Lion is iconic.
So
much. Yes.
He's not here for the bullshit unless, you know.
Right.
He's not here for the bullshit, but he's with the shit.
Right. Literally
that. Lion is everything.
So, so those are my, but those other shows I don't think I've ever even seen. So. Can't do nothing about Naruto. Hold on, Naruto. Is that
Ninja Ones?
Naruto. What's his name? What's his name?
You're about to say Goku.
Yes. Goku. Ryan and Goku. No, what's not Ryan? Ryzan? You know who I'm thinking
Ryu?
Of. Ryu.
Street Fighter?
No.
You're talking about three completely different franchises.
Okay. All right. I'm done. I tried. I tried, but I'm out.
All right. I'll do the Steven Universe one first. Honestly, a lot of the other ones I don't even know what my answers would be because five is a lot. And a lot of them also have names that I won't really remember. But I'll try my best. So Steven Universe, no particular order. Even though, yes, Garnet is likely number one.
Garnet is that, like, you just cannot. When we got the backstory and we saw Ruby and Sapphire fuse for the first time and become, like, when we got that whole story, it was like, bitch, don't talk to me about Garnet. Like, Garnet Hive for life. That's my bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Garnet, I feel like Steven's not fair. Like, he should just automatically be, like, assumed. But you put Steven in here, so I'll put Steven in mine, too.
Well, I ended up with, like, 8 characters by the end, so. But Steven wasn't in my original top 5. He was not.
Okay. Garnet, Rainbow Quartz, the first one.
Okay.
Which was a fuse between Rose and Pearl. And she was, like, the one who looked the cuntiest of the fusion. Yep. She was, like, the ballerina when the... ballerina with the rainbowy iridescent vibe. White Diamond, just stellar villain.
Yeah, horrible person.
Great reveal. Like, actually truly intimidating for an animated character in a show this bright and charming, and pretty decent arc, even though, you know, she comes in pretty much right at the end and is in the movie. That's three. That's three. Garnet, Rainbow, White Diamond. My boy with the gauges. I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, the little surly teenage asshole in the band.
Yes. I forgot his name. No, don't do this to me. I have a little figure of him and everything. I just can't remember his name right now. See, this is exactly what I told you was going to happen. I have to Google it.
I should have included Sadie. Sadie and this person worked together at the shop. You know his name. It's German. rhymes
oh,
with...
Oh, fuck!
Rhymes with cars.
It's Lard.
Yay!
Oh, that took a while.
Yeah, Lars
yeah,
is a good one.
Yeah, I love Lars.
Lars is a good one because he is really an asshole, but then you see his character development. Because like all assholes, he has a lot of pain in his life.
Mm-hmm. And the way that he literally... Spoiler alert. He literally dies.
Excuse? Oh, okay. Wait. I was like, wait a minute. What?
The Lars that we have now, Super Lars, is like... He went on this whole intergalactic thing.
It's true. Like, he did. He just he sacrificed himself for the sake of everybody else, which, honestly, Lars was kind of a dick munch, so... But yeah, okay.
And lastly, I think I want to go, I want to take like a left turn here.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick Grandma Nanny Foy.
I don't think I know her. Not off the top of my head.
From Fish Stew Pizza, the grandma.
Oh! Reagan's mama.
Yeah, Reagan
Gomez voices those girls. Yes. Oh, she is iconic. Isn't she Caribbean?
I think they're African Nigerian.
Okay, Nigerian.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're definitely African, but I don't know if it's Nigeria.
Gotcha.
But yeah, she is like was always from the episode where they were beefing with them, playing, and then they play their volleyball game. Like for that episode on,
so good.
Nanny Fly was like one of my favorite characters, so I was like, let me pick another left field one. But honestly, so many of those characters are fantastic. Honestly, you could throw a rock or a dart and hit a really fantastic character because they're all so well thought out.
It is. It's a perfect show.
So yeah, I'm just gonna do Steven. For the other ones, I'm not gonna even do top fives because there's too many and all of that other stuff, but I'll just run through characters from these other three shows that I really, really love. Obviously, Naruto. Amazing story arc from beginning to end, probably one of my favorite in anime, period. Itachi from Naruto is probably my favorite of Naruto, if not second favorite. And then One Piece, love Luffy, love Usopp, Nico Robin, really like the main girlies, Chopper.
Chopper style.
Chopper style.
Exactly that person.
And my hero, all the ones that Megan Thee Stallion has dressed up as, literally. Like, literally. Oh boy, the rabbit lady, what's her name? Mirko, I don't remember. I know Todoroki.
Her. I know her.
My girl who has, like, she, like, floats around. She's one of, like, the top three. I don't remember her name, but y'all are going to send it to me. She's not the rabbit girl, but she almost like the rabbit girl. She has little twisties in her hair. She's super, like, charming and stuff. Those are, like, some of my favorites of anime-ing. Okay. All right, I'm done.
Wonderful.
Hey guys, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or exhilarating. Personally, I find it to be all of these things depending on the time and dime. But if you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you'll gain insights and uncover truths that you can find only in therapy. Personally, I'm therapy constantly. It's one of the most important things in my life right now, to be honest with you. And it is just, it makes a difference knowing that you have someone somewhere that is judgment-free, that is unbiased, that can hear you out. And it being Mental Health Awareness Month is the time, if it's been on your mind, to give it a try. Celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking out in therapy. Talkspace is offering every listener of The Read $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80. When you go to Talkspace.com/read to match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/read to get $80 off your first month with the code SPACE80. and to show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/READ, code SPACE80. Go get some help, talk some stuff out. Let's get back to the show. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? We've told you. It's your girl, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, honey. And right now you can try it for free, girl, at ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I've actually used ZipRecruiter for my own personal things on the back end. And it really does work pretty quickly. And I also appreciate that it's easy to use because, you know, this aging brain of mine in technology, we're parting ways, which makes me sad, but that's a different conversation. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now let's get back to show.
So I guess it's my turn now for a question. Mm-hmm. This one comes from Mark, who says, I recently started taking testosterone to come into a more masculine, non-binary identity. I've always known about my identity, but repressed it because of such horrible examples of masculinity that I saw growing up.
And I know this room.
I felt like getting older was just learning all the ways women in your life have been abused by men, and I never wanted to become like that.
I'm so sorry, pause. Imagine knowing what you know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, I'm sorry. Just that,
no, it's
that
real. It's real. Yeah.
Is so powerful and really deserves its own episode.
It is.
Please continue. My word.
Like knowing that you're trans mask and then also knowing that the people that you feel close with, like that you identify with,
the examples that you have,
they're the abusers of all the women in your life.
That you just don't express it or connect with it.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. Yes, never wanted to become like that. But with therapy, I was able to realize I can do masculinity better than they ever could.
And that's the tea.
Love that. Unfortunately, this testosterone has me horny as all hell.
I've heard that.
It does.
Ooh,
do that.
Bitch, I've heard that.
It does do that. Trust me. I have dated a few of y'all on tea. And the tea be having y'all. The tea is
it
the tea.
It basically turns you into a little teenage boy.
Think pubescent teenage boy. Literally the next one.
Yeah.
I've never been one to enjoy casual sex, but this tea has me down bad. My two roommates / besties have come up with an iteration of a bet that they created to help my one roommate overcome their own reservations around casual sex.
A bet.
B-E-T. Since then, this roommate has been able to have really incredible sexual experiences and a sexual confidence that I yearn for. So the new sex bet is as follows. Whoever is first to sleep with 5 women wins, and the rest of us have to do that roommate's laundry for a month. Folded and everything, and we don't have laundry in our unit, so this is huge. However, sleeping with white women does not count. No, I screamed when I read that part. I did. I screamed. I nearly cried. They said white women do not count.
So first of all, girl, let's be clear and let's call a spade a spade.
They said only colored pussy.
Woo! Oh, said anybody could do that, girl.
White girls don't count, and you can't use apps to find hookups. Now, that is unnecessarily difficult. But okay.
That's some Super Mario Maker.
Oh, man. Both of my roommates are bi, but they've only had casual sex with men. They say they respect women too much to sleep with them in the same way they do men.
I know that's right.
So this would be a motivator to get more comfortable around women, too.
Hell no. Yeah.
My question is,
so funny.
Am I a douchebag for agreeing to do this? Am I already engaging with toxic masculinity? Is this something I should lean away from despite my horniness? Let me know what y'all think. P.S. I know a lot of people use apps to have straightforward casual sex, but I'm too much of a dyke at heart. I need to lock eyes with you under the purple strobe lights in the club and feel like we in an A24 movie. I can't see God in her eyes if I'm looking through a screen.
I almost spit out my senses.
No, I'm sorry. Dykes do want to fall in love with you under the purple strobe lights in the club. They do.
The A24 reference is so true. Euphoria lights. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your help, Mark.
Wow, this is great.
Oh, Mark. You, bless you, baby.
Thank you so much. Is it a douchebag for engaging in this? I think sleeping with someone as a bet comes close to douchebaggery. I don't know about toxic masculinity because femmes could do that down and probably have many times. Here's the thing, right? I respect that it's in an effort to become more comfortable with sex, with your body, with, you know, different types of people and stuff like that. And I think that that's fire. I don't know if I like the bet part of it.
Yeah. Well.
Like, why can't it be like a pact or something? Or like a... Yeah, like a bet just sounds gross.
It does. It does. So that's my thing. Like, I feel really conflicted about this because on the one hand, I think it's fine to have like casual sex with somebody who is also looking for that. Your auntie. So like you're feeling this urge more than you want.
Right.
So you like you're really trying to hunch something. And I get that. And the incentive is not toxic. It's not like. It's not like, you know, fuck five women and post a video of like her naked body on Instagram or whatever. Like the first one to humiliate five women wins. It's like just the first one to actually get past their own shyness, to go out there, say hi, talk to somebody, create enough of a connection for y'all to have casual sex in the first place. And then you win like laundry being done. It's, I get that. Not having laundry in your unit, that's very annoying. That's a huge inconvenience.
Is it ultimately harmless?
Well, I'm not saying...
That's what I'm trying to figure out, though.
I think if everybody you have sex with knows that this is a casual sex situation, they want that, you want that...
Then it should be fine.
Then I think it's fine. It's when you... If you're lying to people... about what's going on just so you can fuck, knowing that they're looking for a relationship or whatever else, just so you can win free laundry for a month, then I think that's fucked up. But,
yeah,
you know, people have agency and they can go out to the club and be like, I'm trying to fuck on somebody tonight and you looking like it. Like, let's go. So are you already engaging with toxic masculinity? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it perpetuates.
Yeah, it feels like it's right there. It's right there. And so,
oh no, I just feel like there has to be a better way to do this.
Oh no, there definitely is. And the better way is just going out and meeting people, going on dates, having sex, creating these connections without the incentive dangling over your head.
Yeah, but how do you do that as someone who's maybe shy or a little inexperienced and maybe do that with people you trust without it being can't hardly wait?
Well, you need a wingman. You need somebody who does have the confidence.
Do that?
Well, and it sounds like all of y'all are shy and start getting real mealy-mouthed around pretty girls. You're like, my name is... and then you just shut down completely when like a pretty girl looks in your direction. Whereas with men, at least for your roommates, men are like nothing. They have no problem fucking men and, you know, scratching that itch. So maybe can all of y'all are like that, but.
Can we like go shopping and like goof off trying on clothes together that you feel like is going to get y'all laid and take pictures and make a moment out of it and then go home and like eat something sweet and then like, I don't know, like make a play crown out of M&Ms and toilet paper rolls or some shit like that. And then just be like, you know, the first one to get some this month gets to wear this crown for the night when we get together and watch Girlfriends.
Yeah. I
is that the same shit?
I just get the feeling these roommates are not mask or not trans.
Yeah, no, they don't sound that way.
I get the feeling you live with two bisexual girls. And everybody would like to have more sex with women. And so the three of you are trying to encourage each other to do that. Is there a better way to do it? Almost certainly. But I do think as long as you're honest, and I would go so far as to be like, I am so shy. Like, I feel like talking to certain women and saying like, I'm so shy around women that me and my friends are like trying to encourage each other to talk to more girls and like whoever sleeps with a certain, like you could be honest about it.
Here's the thing.
You could say that.
I considered that.
You could. You could be honest and be
but
like.
But I feel like it's almost impossible for that to be anything but a turn off. Like, I don't see any way.
I mean.
Like, even if I'm also trying to have casual sex. If you're like, oh, my friends. Like, that's not sexy.
Right.
That's not sexy.
Yeah, my
pussy. So I'd probably still keep it to myself. Even. And go with what you were originally saying, which is like, I know this is casual, you know this is casual, because then ultimately when I go home or you go home, what difference does it make if it was a bed or not?
And, you know, there are sex toys for people who, for whatever genitals you're interested in, there a sex toy exists. And so
that's true.
That and some lube, yeah, you could have a really good time without ever involving anybody else in the process. Of course, it's not the same as having sex with a person, but it can handle what sounds like a lot of very strong biological urges that you're going through right now.
I mean, Mark is a nigga.
Yeah, Mark is, and I have dated niggas on T, so I get it. Like, they want to fuck all day. All day.
Science, mama. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Blame the hormones.
Yeah, blame the moans. Yeah, I think there's a way to kind of do this ethically, but also, you know, you want to fall in love under the strobe lights in the club. Go do that.
Why was Maya skating around that part? Like, I forgot. The mama was like, so this nigga right here.
Yeah. I want to do that.
I'm
wanna
blue
look
under the moonlight.
Yes, I blew under the moonlight and I'm trying to fall in love. Go do that, you know?
Girl,
get you a sex toy to take the edge off and go fall in love with the woman of your dreams in the club while both of y'all are on shrooms.
Like, that's cool. I get it, whatever. But it's like, if you can't go on apps anyway, Mark, then it means it's, yeah, like you
can't use the apps anyway, right? So go to the club and fall in love.
But Mark is like,
Mark wants that
I'm
going to
meet girl one or two, and I'm going to be like, I don't want to play. No.
Oh, my God. Mark going to be the one to fall in love with the second girl and be like, I'm out of the bet. And then tell her immediately, second date.
But maybe the horniness will be like, no, I don't. I actually do kind of want to get out here a little bit more and be a fast-ass boy.
And honestly, a lot of queer people don't get the dating life that they deserve.
Yes!
A lot of, especially when you think about how people start dating as like preteens, teenage years. A lot of us aren't even fully sure of our identities by then. We have families who would never let a queer partner show up at the door to take us no fucking where. So it's like, God, you don't get the chance to just be young and stupid and go out here and fuck on a bunch of different people. Like, that was never available to you. And so I get that,
too. On top of the fact that now you have these hormones in your life and as a part of your journey and stuff like that. and all of that other shit. So it's probably also, it's changing your body and maybe the way you look and all this other stuff. And, and, but like, that's so T what you just said. It's just like, a lot of us are not afforded the comfort or the space to figure that out anyway. So I get it. I encourage, you know, casual sex is a way to like learn about yourself, to feel feel good the way that sex feels good.
Absolutely.
To also learn how you best have sex for your person.
Yes.
Whether it is that person or somebody else.
And how that has changed. Because the way you have sex might change after T versus before. It very much
And the way that you have sex will change 20s. 30s.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's ever evolving. So I'm all with that and whatnot. But yeah, I would definitely say, Mark, maybe go and just buy some detergent now. Because
buy some detergent.
Mark said he's trying to fall in love.
You're gonna lose, Mark.
Like, Mark wants to fall in love.
Yeah, let one of the bisexual girls. I don't know. I'm just picturing your roommates as looking like Janelle Monáe
and Lynn.
And Lynn. And Lynn from Girlfriends.
Yes.
Yes. All like hippie and, you know, gender is just a construct and all that.
Their apartment smell good.
Either that or it smells horrible. It smells like patchouli and feet, but
like constant weed.
But you know, I feel like in your heart of hearts, you just want to go meet somebody with a septum piercing and fall in love the way God intended. And
yeah, you like be that's what to do your that. Head wants.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean. And your body, by way of medication, wants fuck.
Yeah, that's what your head wants, but you want some head. Okay, sorry, Mike.
I don't think you're a douchebag.
No, the fact that you're even thinking about the effect that this might have on your casual sex partners. Because let me tell you something. Men do not be thinking. Men be going to the club armed with a lie.
So men have never asked themselves. Are they a douchebag, please? That's a great point of view. Mark, you're doing just fine, my love.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Let me pick one. Or do you want to? Let's do a break.
Okay.
So listen, guys, the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. I've been running my mouth about it for a while now. Black representation in media is incredibly important. And I feel like it's in kind of a precarious situation at the moment. So amplifying and enjoying as many of these stories as possible is pretty important. Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. You can get things from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations. There's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truth. Black perspectives have always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center on Black voices. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Welcome back, y'all, to the show. I've got a letter here ready for you. It's from Lexi. She says, Dear Crystal and Kid Fury, I am a 35-year-old femme lesbian, madly in love with the stud of my dreams. We've been together for 4 years now, which in gay parlance is eternity. And we are huge fans of the show. This woman is gorgeous, former college basketball player, and all of that. I thought I couldn't trade her for the world, but I don't know.
I know that's right.
That is a wild sentence.
That is how you start.
Here's our issue. We upgraded our cell phone plan. Okay, I haven't read this letter yet, just so y'all know. So forgive me.
That's why you're taking yourself
I saw femme, lesbian, and dyke in the first line, and I was like, I'm going to read this one. We upgraded our cell phone plan and decided to upgrade our phones, too. So I took them to the Apple store. Ugh, always a mistake. I think my girl forgot to fully wipe her phone because there are some voice notes saved to it, which I promptly sent to my iCloud. Well, and there it is today. As soon as I got in my car with our brand new iPhones, I dug right into these voice notes. Baby, shocked is not the word. The first thing I heard was my boo's voice telling a man how much she misses giving her head. No, how much she misses him giving her head. This was the opening to about 1 hour and 18 minutes of some of the filthiest sexual audio you can ever imagine. My touch me not was fully being touched up.
I know that's right. Work.
Now we had been discussing allowing some freak shit into our relationship, including men for me. But apparently she had jumped the gun repeatedly. Here's where I am in the deep end. I know that man's voice. I've met him. Wow. Oh, God. I don't think he knows me as her partner, but I have met the man with that voice. Okay. He's West Indian and very charming. Oh, God.
That's how they get you.
So I can see why it's him, but I can't see why it got to be my girl. How would y'all handle this? Yes, leaving her is option one. But in my heart of hearts, I think this is survivable.
You would.
Have you ever heard of any dykes or studs who want to be getting dick down on the regular like this? Is there such a thing as a bisexual lesbian?
God bless it.
Am I just disgusted because it's a man? Am I limiting my partner's explorations if I really chew her out? To be honest, their sex sounded better than ours, and damn, that makes me righteously angry. She sounded free as a bird in them audios, and I would hate to deny someone their true self, so how do I approach this? Pray for me, faithless.
Free as a bird in them audios is taking me down. She said her dyke got on the mic and started singing.
No, he was giving her head, and but an hour and 18 minutes.
And she said, Lexi, don't do it like that, y'all.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Lexi says that she feels this is survivable. So I guess we can start there.
And I think it can be. Is there such thing as a bisexual lesbian? Not to me. Because you know how I feel about words. And I get that people are like, oh, well, there's all kinds of identities now within the Ligabigatiga community.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I get that. And I don't want to deny nobody their identity or their experience. What I am all for is us coming up with a word for that. Mm. Let's just come up with a word for that. Because lesbian already means woman who is exclusively attracted to women. That's what that means. Right. So if you're not a woman or you're not exclusively attracted to women, then you're not a lesbian. Like, I stopped calling myself a lesbian when I started dating trans and non-binary niggas because those aren't women.
Right.
So I don't think there's a such thing as a bisexual lesbian. I do think there's a such thing as somebody having being a woman or being assigned female at birth and yet having a strong preference for women, but sexually being open to a lot of different shit. Now, what do we call that? I don't know. But I'm happy to come up with a word for that and use that word. Actually, a lot of masculine people, masculine women, dykes, studs, whatever, as long as they still identify as a woman. Doms. Yeah, they do enjoy penetration because penetration feels good. It's just really shameful to say that.
She's getting ate out by a man now. And that is what she started by saying she missed, according to this letter that I read from Lex.
That's true. And so, I mean, and you listen to all hour and 18 minutes of them fucking, You stronger
but
than me.
But she said she was touched up and also that she's a freak. And that they were talking about including freak shit in their relationship, including niggas. But that for whatever reason, Bae was keeping this part, you know, between her and Tim Cook and them over at...
Yeah. It doesn't sound like... I don't know if you're saying that this person cheated on you. It doesn't sound like you're saying that. This could be very old audio. You know, that they keep around just because it sounds good. But and, you know, we do need to discuss why you saw that your partner had some voice notes on her phone. And the first thing you did was save them. The first thing you did was save them voice notes to your iCloud instead of just being like, oh, let me wipe the phone from, since you forgot to do that. Like, there's a conversation to be had there. I would pray a partner doesn't go through my voice notes or anything else like that. But I also don't have nothing. I don't have nothing to hide, really. It's just more of like, I'm a human and I deserve privacy and respect of my privacy. So,
yeah,
there is that question. But let's see. Am I limiting my partner's explorations if I rightfully chew her ass out? I mean, it sounds like you're mad because she's okay with certain stuff with this man that she doesn't do with you. Like with you, she's a touch me not. So like maybe you're a pillow princess and everything is just being done to you. And the dynamic is totally different than what she's having with this
or
person.
Or is it that the sex with this man sounds way better than the sex that she's having with?
Yeah, it sounds like you feel threatened because your partner is having sex in a way that you don't get to be a part of at all. But what I cannot help you with is how you gonna have this conversation without admitting that you went through her damn voice notes.
Oh, I'm assuming you're going to start with like, here's the voice note. I listened to all hour and a half of it. It was giving Russo Brothers. I thought at any moment Iron Man was gonna fight Captain Marvel. It was so long. So let's talk.
Like ghetto.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you're going to say, yes, I did this very thing and this is how I know this stuff. Let's talk about it. There's no continuing this relationship with the knowledge of this information without addressing it for you.
Yeah.
And there's no addressing it without saying, I did this thing. So you might as well just go on ahead and do it so y'all can start talking about what you're really here to talk about, which is the fact that she likes, you know, niggas to taste and maybe do a couple of other things every now and then, or did once upon a time. Because here's another thing. It could be this one man. I'm not like, that's, here's, and then when you were talking earlier about like what we would call it and stuff like that, like I completely agree with that. I feel like though at the same time, until that name come along, it's okay to just be fluid. Like there's nothing wrong with like, I'm gay as fuck, or I consider myself a lesbian sexually. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, it's about the time of day.
Yeah.
To me, I'm not, if you were to say that to me down at whatever bar, I'm not going to challenge your sexuality. That's going to make perfect sense to me. Like, around the clock, you're a lesbian. Certain things, bedroom wise, might, you know, traipse outside those boundaries. Like, that's, you know what I mean? So I don't think that we have to get to, like, you understand that, right? Then I feel like there are some people like Lexi who maybe have more challenges with sexuality, identity, and what it means to you individually, where that would be, like, a bigger thing. Like, I get why it's more like, oh, is she a lesbian or a bisexual lesbian or a car? What's that? You know what I mean? Where it's just like, yeah, she probably the same stud that you've been with for 4 years.
That's right.
You just know now she hasn't had sex with women exclusively or isn't interested in having sex with women exclusively. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything wrong with that. And you having like a wild, erratic or unprepared response to that is probably, I hate doing it, but it's part of the reason why it might be like, let me just keep the fact that once upon a time, this one nigga from Guyana ate the box. And, you know, like, I let this one nigga from Grenada eat me out. And then he just happened to do it again. Like, whatever.
Now he just happened to. I mean, I get it. I would be really thrown off because the niggas I date, it's just not giving that. And I've honestly never dated a touch me not. Even the trans niggas I've dated were like, oh no, you can touch me. So I've never been with somebody like that, but I would be shocked. I understand the element here of like really being blindsided, because even the niggas I date, I would be shocked to hear them on audio with a man talking about how much they like him, you know, giving her head, them head or whatever else. Like, yeah, yeah, I understand that. But
this sounds like it's about having an open, now that you know that, an open conversation about boundaries, such as going into someone's voice notes, sending all of them to yourself and then listening to them in detail and taking notes.
Yeah.
And then crafting together an email to send to two strangers so they could discuss the contents of said voice notes for an audience of hundreds of thousands weekly.
You did
so
that.
So like...
You did that.
You know, there's that. And then also sexuality and fluidity in the ways that we express ourselves in bed. Do you actually have a problem with your partner getting her box ate by this nigga from Trinidad? Because if you do, let's start there. If you don't, let's call that nigga and tell him to come over. You know what I mean? Like... You're gonna have to maybe have more of a conversation about those types of things. Because I don't think it's nothing to be ashamed of, to be honest with you. I have many, many, many lesbian friends, femme, mask, and they have told me things. And my thing has always been, girl, life is short. Enjoy it.
Yes, do that. Amen.
You know.
Yeah, it's interesting because y'all had already been talking about bringing a man in, but for you. So
Right.
So now that you have an issue, you're like, am I just disgusted because it's a man? It's like, how disgusted can you really be?
But then again, it is also like, when was it?
I know a same-sex couple, women, who, I'm not going to say their names, I'm not going to blow up their spot, but they have a very short list of niggas that they would invite into the bedroom if it was an option.
I know. Yes. Actually, I have friends on both sides that have.
Oh, work.
Way less on men's because they never
get. And I feel like Janelle Monáe is on a lot of those lists.
On both sides. Again, yes. 1,000%.
I feel like it's niggas who are like, I want Janelle Monáe to bend me over. I want them to do that immediately. I need that experience.
I actually have friends. I know people personally who would be like, I know it tastes good. Mm-hmm. Talking about her. Yeah. Just like,
and I just want, just sit on my face. So, I need to experience it.
Yeah, I think Janelle's probably on a lot of those.
So, but you know what?
Also, the one I was about to say, I forgot they dated. I completely forgot.
Tessa Thompson?
Yes. I was going to add her to the list and be like,
she also has big strap energy.
They were special friends for a while.
And we loved that. And we ate that up.
Oh, that was iconic. It just seeing was. Them in photos together was
When Janelle would randomly go live on Instagram and Tessa would be on the couch, I'm like, do you understand you are feeding us?
Even if this is nothing.
We don't care. We don't care.
Shipping.
We do not care.
My God, they turned everybody out.
They did.
Everybody they out. Did. They turned did. Everybody out.
Truly did. So.
So, yeah.
I mean, Lexi herself said that she thinks this is survivable.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think the only way it's not going to be survivable is if your partner is furious that you listen to her voice notes when you were just supposed to be turning in the phone.
Right.
I understand the impulse. I probably would have also wanted to do it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I would not have been tempted. But, like, I'm pulling up at the Apple store. We supposed to be getting new phones. I want to believe that, you know, full healed me would just say, oh, let me do a quick reset on my partner's phone. They forgot to wipe it.
I know I wouldn't. Not today. I promise you I ain't getting my phone. It's going to make no difference.
I want to believe that I would be like,
you
oh,
lucky if I give a fuck.
I'm not finna airdrop this to myself. I'm not finna send this to my iCloud. Who knows what's on this? It could be the last, you know, it could be anything on
I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Because I'm God's favorite. It does. Okay. I don't have to do the
okay,
work.
Okay, work.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to find out one way or another. And you already know about me. When I find out, it's a wrap. So play the game if you want to while you can. I'm not going to run you down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's me. You know what I'm saying? That's what you did. And I also feel like, no shade, knowing lesbians 4 years deep, it's probably survivable for her too.
Yeah.
Like, the whole you know, sending your voice notes thing.
Yeah.
I think that what's possible here, if everyone is like open, honest, mm-hmm. not, you know, bigoted,
grimy, yeah, messy, yep.
I think this could lead to a real evolution for the better in your sex life and in your
ooh,
relationship period.
Yes, it could.
But for certain in your sex.
Yeah. If your partner can get over the fact, again, that you violated their privacy and listen to their voice notes. If they can get over.
You know, that might take a while.
Because knowing me and my Scorpio rising, I don't know that I would forgive you for that.
I don't want to say things about ignorant.
No, say it.
Niggas are just a little different.
No, I know. No, this conversation has been going on online for like 3 weeks now of like, why is it okay to snoop through men's phones but not okay to snoop through women's phones? And people are like, honestly, it's just different. And I'm like, oh, I can't. As a therapist, I cannot say that. But
okay, I don't agree with that.
As a nigga, I get it. I do. I get it. Because men,
if
when
you
snoop
through
a woman's phone, I mean,
you can't be mad at that same.
But listening,
what are you talking about?
But listening to your voice notes is going through your phone.
An hour and 18 minutes.
And
of
you
it.
Sat there and listened to me come all over this nigga and you just kept listening?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, you're
I don't
not
like
that.
That.
You're a little like intrigued. And I think that could possibly lead to some wonderful things once y'all get past, if y'all get past, you know, you snooping.
Yeah.
But I hear where you coming from. You know what I'm saying? Me,
well,
even I'm like, if I can't do this, like, I listen to this one thing you should see. It would have to be who it is. If it's like, and then you know who it is. Girl, if you don't give this bitch your goddamn
your process.
I'm like, what the fuck are we even talking about?
Best of luck to you, Lexi. Hopefully your partner isn't petty and short-tempered like me. Because I don't
probably
think...
going to have an argument, but I don't think they're going to break up.
Yeah, I mean, especially y'all been together for 4 years. So it probably will be like, babe, we can figure this out. I just, what's up with this? Like, we talked about bringing a nigga in for me. Do you want a nigga in for you too? Like, it's not even necessarily that I'm opposed to it, but let's talk about it because I'm hearing a totally different side of you than what I see and feel and experience in our life together. So
yeah,
but
you just can't come at her spicy. That's not gonna work.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, you definitely can't come with the how dare you, blah blah blah. Because
that's,
then it's like
you're gonna,
bitch, how dare insane. You be in my right? So
you need to first come clean and say I did this. Thing.
I did it.
I should not have done this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I found out these things.
Yeah,
and I would like to have an open, honest, and fair, respectful conversation about it.
I love that.
That is the only way that you can really approach this situation. And then you still got to hope for the best.
Right.
She can still be like, what the fuck is your problem?
Exactly.
And that would be warranted.
Because what if this is from like 2016? What if this audio file is like several years old and it's literally none of your business?
None. And again, it could also not really even be too indicative of this person's sexuality as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something about that one person or one specific memory or whatever. So it could be like you over here making it a way bigger deal, you know, than it actually is. Or so if that would be agitating as well. It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
God bless. Good luck.
Yes. Good luck to you, Lexi. Please let us know how it goes. And that is going to conclude our special holiday extravaganza mailbag episode. Thank you all so much for all the support in 2023. It has meant the world to us. And we're just so thrilled that we are still here, still kicking, still talking our shit, and still having a good ass time with y'all. Follow us on social media at This Is The Read. You can find our merch over at shoptheread.com. Any other news from you, Kid Fury, this week? I'm going to say it again on this week's regular episode, but congratulations on your amazing sold out stand up comedy show. You killed it, as we all knew you would. And Yeah, we're just so proud of you. Anything else for you before we leave?
Happy holidays. Love on people close to you. Check on someone. Tell them you love them. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.